Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessing everybody who's listening. It's been a long time. Appreciate you taking the time out. I'm here today to just give you an update on what's going on in here with the COVID-19, what's going on with the political prisoner struggle. It's been a hard fought last couple of years. The state has been extremely intense with the counterinsurgency low intensity warfare. Right now, with the COVID-19, what's happening is the state is finally starting to come around to making some measures after much struggle. A few of us have had our mail suppressed and censored on an extreme level in the last 30 days. Much of our outgoing mail has been suppressed, even to journalists. But what's happening is, I think, as the president begins to take this more serious, the people in this region are starting to take it more serious, and most importantly, the people in Richmond and headquarters of the Department of Corrections are taking this more serious. Starting tomorrow, they're going to be checking the temperature of all staff in the Virginia Department of Corrections all over the state, and they just gave us what they call sneeze masks to protect us from other people sneezing around us. But, you know, most of our concerns in here have been from the beginning that we can only catch COVID-19 from all the knowledge and information we've received, which is what you all have received from staff. And they have been suspending visits of our family members and not allowing our family members to come visit us. And yet staff was coming in here every day, free-spirited, walking around us with no mask, without their temperatures being checked, as if, you know, in some kind of way they had a special immunity to the virus. So they've been forced finally to take this serious. And there's been some retaliation, small, little, subtle acts of retaliation against our unit, different units who have been active in the struggle, because there has been a few of us, a small segment of us, who have organized and been active in the struggle. And we've been being retaliated against, as the DOC does, and many people have seen with my special case over the last couple of years. That is typically the way that they respond to people trying to exercise their free speech and just get them to be accountable to the law, to their policies. So that's where we are with COVID-19. I'm hoping everybody is safe. I'm hoping everybody out there is taking this serious. I'm pretty sure at this point with the stay-at-home orders, people are finally. And I just wanted to let you all know in this time of lockdown, something I have, unfortunately, some experience with. This is a time for everybody to, you have to do isolation and confinement a different way than you do being out. Being free, moving. You have to change your mindset in order to get, now I know it's not as extreme as doing time like what we're doing, but I do understand that the confinement that a lot of you all are currently experiencing is something that you're not used to. And so one of the ways that you have to, you know, survive it is you have to find a program and organize your mind. You can't allow your mind to spiral into depressions or boredom or frustration or stress. You have to find positive ways to use your mind. When I came here from Sussex 2, when they were in the midst of their counterinsurgency program, I mean, right at its height, they had put me in a mental health segregation cell. The cell had nothing in it but a toilet and a sink. They had covered up the vents. I sat in that cell for nearly 3 months, and they wasn't giving me showers or outside rec. It was torture because I had to sit there and deal with myself. From there, they sent me over to C building, which is notorious in this state because it is the long-term segregation wing, where I was supposed to sit for 2 years, but what ended up happening is my support system from the Virginia Defenders and Coalition for Justice, a lawyer named April Wimberly, she took my case, Sandy Hossman from NPR Radio, Virginia Tech Radio, they all got behind me, his family and friends, got behind my case, and we forced them to release me from that illegal detention. But ultimately, I was by myself going through that struggle in the cell, looking at the walls, and I had to figure out how I was going to survive. And what I decided was, I'm not going to let them take my mind. I'm not going to let them take my spirit. It was a choice. Because at the end of the day, it's an objective problem. It's an objective problem that we can solve objectively. And the same right now with everybody experiencing these lockdowns. So what we have to do is know that it's going to end and prepare for the ending. So you study, you work out, keep in close contact with your family the way that you can if it's virtually. But most importantly, you don't succumb to the momentary hardship. You let the hardship make you better. there are many guys around the system in the states, all over the country, women who've been experiencing confinement for many, many years, who have been experiencing the harshest confinement you can experience for many, many years, and they choose to survive. They chose not to give up. They chose not to be weak. And so now is the time for you all to dig within yourself because you have the same capacity. For me, what I had to come to realize is that, you know, for me and for black people and for, you know, people who are being oppressed, every single day, every aspect of our life is a protest. And so when you're dealing with systems that want to destroy you, and people, you know, these systems do this to us directly and indirectly. So the fact that we have a government that hasn't been invested in public health, that has allowed this to manifest itself over years and years and years of investing in things that typically don't benefit the overall masses of the people, like military spending and subsidizing corporate welfare. This is what happens. This is abuse. So all of these things are things we got to consider. All of these are things that we, at this moment in time, have to, you know, reassess. We have to recenter ourselves about, you know, the assumptions that we have about the culture, the assumptions we have about our politics, you know, what's real and what's not. And we have to begin to ask ourselves, you know, how dependent are we on someone else? How dependent are we on other entities for our safety, for our health, for our well-being, for our economic security? If the store is closed, can I grow my own food? Do I know how to farm? Do I know how to practice basic medicine? If the hospitals are overwhelmed, can I, you know, do heart compressions and save somebody's life who's dying? I'm running out of time, but know that the political prisoner struggle is real. And I love and appreciate everybody who supported me over the years. Thank you for the time.